Nope.
Okay. Why is everyone laughing?
I don't know. Okay.
Silence.
Okay. Finally, episode 2 of Drama Club. So, what is Drama Club? It's like a book club for dramas. We'll be watching. Me, Mango, and Cat Street are watching one drama a month, if our schedule allows, and then we'll record a podcast at the end of the month for Patreon donors and coffee donors who will get, like, you know, first dibs to listen to us talk about the whatever drama we're watching. And then we'll also supply the drama so you can watch it along with us. Everything will be neatly packaged together, you know, the proper subtitles and the raw files will be combined and easily accessible to our donors. We're mainly doing this to kind of raise a little bit of money to help with, like, the server costs, whatever costs related to maintaining Drama Otaku. But yeah, that's Drama Club. So I'm Amarayu, one of the founders of Drama Otaku and Drama Club. And we have Cat Street. Cat, do you want to introduce yourself?
I am, I don't know if I'm a founder, but one of the...
You harass me so much. I think that's giving...
One of the founders of Drama Club, Drama Otaku. I deal with the drama side of the site and the community, and basically just user interactions and stuff. And yeah, you can find me on... Oh, well, we'll do Twitter at the end.
You can do Twitter now. It's up to you.
Oh, you can find me on Seasalt Clouds at Twitter.
Yeah, and I'm at SARS Fan Subs on Twitter.
Mango?
Yep.
So I'm Mango. I'm basically the main person to deal with movie content and also support. You can find me on Twitter at GimmeDorama. So I think that's all pretty much I've been doing.
You've been busy.
I've had a busy month. I don't think I've actually been able to work on the movies for like 3 weeks. Hopefully, yeah. He's asleep right now. Because I adopted a little kitty about 3 weeks ago, and very, very sweet, and he's adorable, and I love him.
Very clingy.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny. He's very scared of some noises. Like, he's gotten used to a lot and he's fine with a lot now, but now it's like my phone fell off of a high counter and it was horribly loud, and I look over and my first thought is, oh, I just freaked him out. And he looks over like, no big deal, nothing happened. And then an ice cube falls and he freaks out and goes under the bed for
an
half
ice
hour
cube.
Yeah,
what? Okay.
But I'm hoping, yeah. Now he's like in this phase where he's up from like 3 and on, and now it's 8 in the morning and he's totally passed out. And
just
I've
wait.
Been up all
you'll,
night.
You'll be ready to go back to bed and he'll decide to wake up.
But I don't know. I feel like I'm just looking for that little breather to figure out how to work with him to get on a different schedule, because it's been really exhausting.
Maybe the vet can give you some tips.
Yeah, oh, that's true. Yeah, I will ask, because I'm taking him today. So what's next? We watched Sherlock, Miss Sherlock.
Yes, we did.
So, oh no, Kat has to talk about drama. Oh, that's right. Otaku.
Oh, okay. I thought I was doing it at the end, but so how did drama otaku come about? Basically, we were both well, Amari was the founder of the Addict.
Kind of, not really.
Kind of.
Well, I've been there. Yeah, from the start. But I wasn't like I helped kind of along the way. But yeah.
Well, basically, since the site got sold off to some random dude who only really cares about cryptocurrencies and ad monetization, he has no interest in drama. We kind of decided that we wanted to move to a different space which was more welcoming and friendly to fans subbers and people who watch dramas, because we found that the site The Addict was kind of not only like kind of old in terms of the UI, but kind of a bit unfriendly and unwelcoming as time has gone on. So this was basically a place where we could allow any kind of like subs, like external subs or soft subs, and have people just upload what they feel comfortable doing, as well as like try and build a community around it. And I guess part of it is me constantly bugging Amrayu nonstop to get the site working, which took about 3 years. Well, yeah. We're here now. Finally.
But I had
it was
so
a
much
long
like
3 years.
Yeah.
But
I had so much like hesitation, that's why. And like I was like, really, do I have time to like invest in this? Because I know how much work it takes. So, yeah. Like, I kept going back and forth, and, like, the whole, like, posting the subtitles thing is, a little bit iffy, too. So, yeah.
Yeah, you were a bit worried about that side of
yeah,
things.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. But I think it's at a good place at the moment.
Yeah, I think so. But, yeah, that was because Castri is just talking about drama otaku, because some people don't know what it is and why we created it. But yeah, that's a little bit of history there. I actually wrote a little bit about it on our homepage, so if you guys want to look at it, it's somewhere on the front page somewhere. I have a link there that talks about the history. Okay. Let's go on to the real agenda then.
Miss Sherlock.
Yeah, let's talk about Miss Sherlock. So our theme was from last month, was it April or May? May.
Yeah.
May. Wow.
But it was
okay.
Related to April.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So both, Takeuchi Yuko and Miura Haruma were both born in April. We unfortunately lost both of them to suicide during the pandemic, like just months apart. So, this is just like a celebration of their work. So we watched it in June, right? Yeah, we watched it in June, Last Cinderella?
Yeah.
So we watched Last Cinderella in June.
Oh, no.
May. May.
Oh, we watched it in May?
Yeah.
I'm getting confused.
We were watching this in June, and then...
June. Recorded in June. Okay.
Yeah. We recorded the other one in June.
Yeah. Okay, so... Last month we recorded Last Cinderella. So we hope you guys enjoyed that podcast. Now we're, continuing that theme, because who can watch two dramas
Some people
in cat- one. I know, but apparently some we can't.
Cat, did you showing off? Didn't you tell me, Kat, that you watched some of the episodes on like speed 1.5?
Really?
I sometimes watch other dramas at 1.5 because I have limited time.
I know you're such a you're so productive.
Not at all. I just have too much going on. So for some of the time I will watch stuff a bit faster.
Really?
I can still take it all in.
Doesn't it like bother you if they're talking too high pitched or something?
That's the thing. I never used to watch it like at a faster speed, but then when my friends were talking about how they did it occasionally, I checked out something doing it, and yeah, I didn't like it at first.
Yeah.
But then as time went on, I kind of adjusted it more and more.
Oh, really?
So it was like 1.25, and then and now like sometimes I can watch stuff a bit faster, but
I can actually
read really fast. So it's not like difficult for me to kind of read and watch at the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
But I used to do that much to Miss Sherlock. I tried to because I need to pay attention to what's going on. How dare you, Agnew?
I'm sorry.
Calling me out.
I'm like, what?
You were meant to keep that a secret.
I'm sorry.
Okay, so Miss Sherlock, that's the drama we all watch. It's 8 episodes. HBO Max, they created it in, I guess the US worked with the Japanese companies and released this first female Sherlock, right?
But
I think it
also,
is, right?
Yeah, it is with
I
looked that up. It's the only one. No, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I was thinking, it's somewhere in my notes, which are all over the place. it's the first female Sherlock, which is just kind of mind-boggling to think about. And I was comparing it in my head with Elementary, which is male Sherlock. But then they have Lucy Liu as a female Watson. And I was like, of course they make the side.
The secondary.
And I thought, you know, here, like, a lot of people view Japan as heavily patriarchal. And so I found it interesting that they were the ones who, I mean, yeah, they collaborated with US, but to me, this is just a Japanese drama representing Japanese culture. And they have a female Sherlock, a female Watson, and a female Moriarty, which, you know, they don't call her that, but it's, you know, that was, like, exciting to watch that. It's like, I want more of that.
Do you think it was influenced by America to go that kind of?
I don't know, because, you know, I was thinking, I really wish, like, okay, why wasn't Lucy Liu Sherlock, you know, for Elementary? Yeah. And I felt like American audience wouldn't have
taken to it.
And I was thinking about like reboots that have redone movies that were formerly all male cast. Like I think it's Ocean's 11, and then there's Ghostbusters, and there's some other stuff out there too, but
those have all failed, right?
Yeah, and
in a way,
I think in some aspect, like, I'm not a huge Ghostbusters fan, but you know, it was okay. It wasn't absolutely terrible, but I think part of it, like, I really like strong writing, strong acting. Sometimes if we put all these female actors together as the main cast and the writing's not great, fine, you know, whatever. But I feel like there's just this, like, gut reaction, knee-jerk reaction from people to just put it down because, oh, it's just all women. And they don't even realize they're doing it, I don't think. Yeah,
it's really odd.
Yeah.
But
I think that's the case. They're like, why do we need another version, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the original is, like, good already, and, you know.
Yeah, which also, I mean, it just popped in my head, but I don't know if anyone watches Battlestar Galactica. There's, what's her name? She's this blonde character, Starbuck. I think it's Starbuck. That's her, like, code name. And the original version was male, and he, like, lambasted the character for being
really
a woman. And I've never seen anything to do with the original Battlestar Galactica, but she's, like, a problematic character for me, but I did really like her as a strong character.
Mm.
But it was interesting to see that he, like, was really angry over that that his character became a woman.
Oh, my God.
So I think there's a lot of that in people. And so when you think about, like, the American audience and culture versus Japanese audience and culture, and how we've never had a female Sherlock up till now, it's just kind of interesting to think about. And it's a little disappointing, but then also exciting that, yeah, it did finally happen. But, you know, I would have preferred it sooner.
Yeah.
That's true. Are there many Sherlock adaptions in Japan, or is it mainly?
There is that. There's another one with two male characters. Well, it's all male. I think it's in its. It has a second season, I think. I forget, but there's one. It's just called Sherlock.
Oh, that was that the Untold Stories one. That was.
Yeah, I think so. It has
that came after Miss Sherlock. 2019.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But most of them are just specials or movies, I think.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Okay.
I was just curious.
Okay, so how do you guys want to talk about Miss Sherlock? Do you want to talk about how it compares to the Western version of Sherlock, or you want to talk about it by episode, or just first thoughts about Sherlock after, or Miss Sherlock after watching?
I kind of like to go by maybe episode by episode or case by case.
Okay. So the first case then was, they call it the first case for episode one. So what happened was that Watto, she returned from Syria. So she had been like a volunteer, like medic. So she comes back on an airplane, and her mentor comes to see her at the airport, and then all of a sudden, like, he topples over.
Yeah.
So, like, in his stomach, like, explodes, right? And, like, she's, like, all trying to, like, stop the bleeding. I'm like, you're not gonna stop the bleeding. There's a big hole in his stomach. Right?
Yeah, it's like the size. Who said that you wouldn't just die like that?
Yeah.
Really? It's a big hole, though.
But you have to have time to bleed out. So it's not like the brain or heart. Unless the explosion got the heart, I would think. I just found it a little funny that they all would die instantaneously, and even a lot of, like, later in the episode when we see the daughter get stabbed, it's like, boom, she's dead.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Stabbing may be unrealistic, yeah.
You're right.
But then, just, I don't want to, like, jump around too much, but in, I think it was maybe episode 6, where we have that politician and we think maybe the son or maybe someone else killed I think she was hard of hearing, nail artist.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that? And
he hits her, stabbed, right, in the car.
I think he was also stabbed by the victim's father, and then he gets hit by the car. But then, okay, yeah, he was alive for a while.
Oh,
but
yeah,
everyone else was like instantaneously dead, which I thought was just kind of funny. Oh, which always seems to happen in shows anyway.
True.
I guess they don't have any reference to how people die from like explosive. Yeah. Explosive pill.
Yeah, that's probably not easy. It doesn't happen very often.
But... Yeah, I actually thought Mizuno, I thought he was shot at first, because when we hear that like pop sound and then he just keels over and then she rolls him out, I'm like, wait, there's no like hole, and it's coming from internal. I'm like, oh my gosh, a bomb just went off in his stomach.
Like, yeah, that's kind of strange, because like how the hell did he even
what? So what did you guys think of that case, though? Like, how the concept of the pill bomb.
Yeah, so the pill was originally developed because for dieting reasons, right? To kind of monitor, like, what's going on with your eating habits, I think.
I thought that something would be like a good idea, but...
Yeah, like, it's... In theory. It sounds... Yeah, but then wouldn't eventually the pill dissolve and, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think it would work.
Yeah, and then you would, like, you know, have to, like, poop it out and then. right. So but I don't see.
I don't see how they would connect it to a computer or anything.
Yeah.
I guess the theory is good, but. The concept, but I don't know if it would work.
Yeah, it was kind of it was a little silly. But I tried to like, okay, well, I'll pretend to believe it just for the sake of the show and to keep being in it mentally, like, I'm mentally here with you, okay.
That's kind of what I do, not realistic most dramas, to be honest. I just like turn off my
But what, like, who did you guys think was the killer?
Really? From my first thought was
your
wife.
First thought.
My first thought
really?
Was the wife. Because she says, I can't remember right now, it's in my notes somewhere, but she says, like, she's a chemical pharmacist or something, you know, something medical. And I was like, oh, okay. It's like, it's gotta be her. And then, of course, we, like, we're kind of run around doing this case, and I'm trying to piece together, you know, how these people connect. And I also thought, you know, my first thought was the wife, and I'm like, well, that's kind of too obvious. Yeah. And so I was also looking, like, I was looking at everybody else involved in who Sherlock's investigating. And of course, then it came back to the wife anyway. But then she's also, you know, there's this overarching plot with Watto's therapist, so, you know, it wasn't just her, technically, but we don't fully we're not supposed to fully realize that. I had a note down here. I'm kind of interested to know what you guys think. So when Kiko, that was Mizuno's wife, she kills herself at the end. Did you guys see that coming, or were you shocked like Sherlock was?
I don't know. I think I was shocked because I'm like, what? But then she was kind of like at her, she had no more reason to live anyways. Like,
yeah.
Her daughter was gone and then husband is gone. And so, yeah, initially shocked him, but then I'm like, oh, okay. She has nothing to live for. She's like, and the actress that so okay, she's dead, whatever.
Yeah, but I kind of felt like it was an easy guess that she would do that, just because she spent so much time and energy all these years
hiding,
trying
it, right?
To get revenge for her daughter, and then it kind of blows up in her face, and what else is there left for her now? And so I saw that coming, and I was actually surprised that Sherlock was surprised over it. And then I was thinking, well, maybe it has to do with emotional intelligence, and she's more logical, and she doesn't really fully grasp emotions.
But I think it's because all of these people who are involved in this, what is it, with the therapist?
I just kept calling it Little Dipper.
Little Dipper. But yeah, that weird cult, right? Like, yeah. I feel like all of those people were like brainwashed. Mm-hmm. So they, in a way, they have like, they only have one goal. And if they don't achieve it, then die.
Yeah.
or commit suicide.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And right?
Kind of. Well, and Irikawa doesn't want them saying anything if they're caught. Yeah. And so that, I mean, like even, I think her name is Yuma, from the two sisters, she ends up killing herself in prison. So.
Oh,
yeah.
At the
end. Okay. And then what did you guys think about how Sherlock pieced this together? For me, I'm like, oh, she is so smart, Sherlock.
But I guess
how did you know like these stamps all fit together?
Yeah, some of this stuff it probably would go right over my head.
Yeah.
Like I don't wanna jump ahead, but like in the episodes where she's doing all this like code stuff or figuring out like passwords. How the hell do you even know what you're looking for?
I know. I know. I think I what you're talking about, Kat, I remember I specifically was thinking like that is such a like a broad thing to even guess a specific password about, that you could have endless wrong answers. And how do you know? So yeah, I thought like I watched this so long ago, it feels like I don't remember too many specifics, but I had a lot of fun following her through the case and how she was unraveling it. And I know that in the second episode I really tried hard to follow and like look at every little clue I could spot, and I'm just like, it's impossible.
You tried to solve it too?
I'm like, it's impossible. I mean, in partly because of the fact that you're not supposed to, and then there's like little details they'll omit from you as the viewer, and only Sherlock knows, or they didn't say a certain, you know, detail right then, and they'll say it later on. And so
I think personally, the second episode was the one with the painting, right?
It was
called Sachiko's Mustache.
Yeah. I think I guessed the culprit in that one a bit sooner, because I think it was like there was large hints towards it, or maybe it was just my intuition, because it's usually I don't know, I had a feeling.
I did too. And because it was the moment he walked in, I was like, okay, they're introducing him for a reason, and he's so random, he has to be involved.
It was just like he was just suddenly there. It just felt like he was put there for some reason, so it had to
the plot convenience, and you just pick up on it. And sometimes it's like an aha moment, like, yes, I got it right, and then other times, like, well, that's kind of disappointing. I wanted to be tricked.
I like twists sometimes, so sometimes when I do figure it out, it's like, oh, I don't feel as like elated about it,
did you guys catch upon like, oh, it's not really the painting that guy wanted?
No, I did not get that.
He wanted the frame, right?
Yeah,
I didn't get that bit. I didn't catch on to that. which is so kind bizarre. Of,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, that one was a weird episode. But then, yeah, like...
That one, actually, now that I think of it, was that even related at all to...
No, it wasn't.
Yeah. So that was, it like, wasn't. I think one of two episodes that didn't really have a relation to the bigger... The
bigger picture. Yeah. The arc. Overarching. Yeah, I actually... So, initially, I was... I think I mentioned that I was struggling a bit. Like, I wasn't finding it as interesting. But I think from, like, the third episode, things started to click for me a bit more, and I started to enjoy it more. It was the third or fourth. But, yeah, the first two episodes, I wasn't, like, that interested in them. I found them a little, like, slow, or, I don't know. I just wasn't as invested.
I liked, I liked episode one. I think primarily because I was like in awe of like female Sherlock, and also also really good production quality. There's like there's like it's like a almost a movie level quality to it.
I agree.
And I just was kind of having fun following her around through the case. Episode two, I enjoyed, not as much, I guess. And I think I just kind of had fun going off of my thoughts with the first episode. Like, I was really, really blown away by Yuko's performance.
Oh, yeah. I wrote about that, that I thought.
And even just watching her from episode to episode and all these, like, quirky, weird things she did, like, these micro expressions, I had a lot of fun watching her, and you can tell she probably had a lot of fun with that role. And I also, because I did watch most, not all of it, but most of the BBC series, and I did see the Robert Downey Jr. movies, and I think that might be, in terms of, like, adaptions, Sherlock adaptions, not just like one-off episodes where Sherlock's mentioned in here and there in places. That's pretty much my
extent.
My extent of Sherlock knowledge. I just recently started the novels, but I had fun comparing in my head like adaption to adaption and how one actor portrayed Sherlock and the other portrayed Watson, and I definitely think per the first episode, my mind was kind of like thinking how Benedict Cumberbatch did his version versus Yuko, and there's definitely this fun, fresher quality, not just because it's a woman, but because it was a really talented actress doing it, and she just kind of knew how to nail her own version of it. And the closest comparison I can make to that, and I don't know if you guys watch Doctor Who, but you know how he regenerates like every so often a new actor takes in the same role they're all kind of, I don't like Jodie Whittaker. I'm sorry, I might upset some people by that. I just don't like her at all. I was really disappointed. It was the first female doctor, but previous actors, they're all kind of the same. They have the same certain qualities, but they make the character theirs at the same time, and that's what I saw with her, and I just really liked that. My ending the show, I just kind of sad that we won't get any more seasons too, but she's
kind of, it was totally set up for that too. Did you guys, we want to talk about the third episode, which is Lily of the Valley. So, Kat, you said that this is where it picked up for you. So, like, what did you like about it that, you know, got you interested finally?
I think because, like, Sherlock kind of, like, this is where she kind of did all the password untangling and the, you know, the kind of, just seeing how her mind worked was really interesting to me. I think I just had a lot more fun, like, trying to figure out what was going to happen and, like, following the story a bit more. Because it seemed a bit more related to the bigger picture.
Yeah, yeah. I think I have so many more notes for this episode. Yeah. I think because there was so much, it was like so much going on in it.
Right? Yeah, I think a lot more happened as well.
Yeah, yeah.
My notes totally go way off. Like I the first thing, like, that guy's being tortured, and I'm like, obviously it's got to be for some kind of.
I thought it was quite funny.
You thought it was funny?
No. I thought it was funny when she was trying to attract her colleague. Like, what she thought was the aphrodisiac.
Oh, yeah.
She was, like, you know, thinking it was working. And it was just a tracker. But
oh, I know. Yeah, that was like, funny. Because my notes actually say someone here, like, I knew Sherlock would never be that nice. And I thought it was so funny, like, on that note where Watch was, like, brushing her hair over and over and over and like really flicking it out, and it's like there's nothing there.
She just looked weird doing it.
Yeah,
that was just, yeah, it was.
But then when like Sherlock, the funny part was like when Sherlock like caught them on some date or whatever.
Oh, I'm like,
how does she know she's like there with that guy? Right,
I didn't even think of that.
It was like, oh, she was tracking him all this, or tracking her all this time.
But then, I didn't actually click. Yeah, that makes sense.
But then, like, she, like, went through her kind of thing where, like, well, you know, this guy's useless because he's, like, wearing these, like, expensive shoes, this watch, he's just a wannabe, like, did he say a wannabe Hemingway or something like that?
You know, when I first saw him, I was like, oh, yes, is this Mary? And for one thing, I was really excited because Tanaka Kay, and I like Tanaka Kay. He's not one of my favorite actors, but I do enjoy watching him. He's funny. And I was like, oh, my gosh, it'd be so cool if he was Mary, which, if you don't know, is canon character that becomes John Watson's wife. Unfortunately, she does die. That is canon. But I thought that'd be really cool if he was, you know, this version of Mary. And then they go on this date. And I was like, oh, that's not Mary. And then I was like, ew. And then Watson or Sherlock comes in and totally, like, just steams him out, which was funny. I was like, yes, okay, he deserved that. I know because Watt was actually upset and maybe – probably embarrassed by it, but I was like, he needed to hear that. He was a little like, who brings a porn magazine on your date?
Oh, that was weird. Yeah. So embarrassing.
Yeah.
I think what I find interesting is like how Sherlock, like the fact that she's so intelligent that she doesn't really think via emotion or empathy. So a lot of the stuff is just like logical and like the way she thinks. She doesn't care if she upsets someone. She just speaks her mind. And I think that was like, at first I thought, oh, she's so rude. Like, how can you like someone like this? But no, it kind of like made sense as things went on, like how she works and how her mind works. And I guess, I think someone said, like, about the autism side of thing or something. Yeah.
It might be. Like, so I have, like, little kids, right? I have a 5 and a 7-year-old. They just speak their mind when they see something. They're like, oh, mommy, look at that lady. She has such a big butt.
I was guilty as a kid. I did that. And a lady got mad at me. She's, you're a rude little girl.
Well, you know,
you mean recently or when you
when I was young. I was like 2.
Oh.
But yeah, but like little kids, they just lack that kind of common common sense, right? So that in a way, I feel that's what Sherlock. Yeah, she might be autistic, right?
The thought did cross my mind.
Well, I think there was some speculation about it in the books or canon.
I don't know about the books. Because I don't know when autism like got on the radar.
Oh, true. Yeah.
And these novels started, I want to say, in the late 1800s. And from what I've read so far, Sherlock is... He likes to show off. He loves a good case, but he also is a lot more polite than what I've seen in more recent adaptions. And so it's kind of interesting to like, how did this character become like more and more like egotistical and arrogant? And he's not as strong as, you know, like say, Miss Sherlock or Benedict Cumberbatch's version. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of interesting.
That could be the writing, but I mean, the fact that everyone back then was kind of like, I suppose, more not polite, but things were a lot different in terms of how it's depicted. But I've not read the Sherlock books.
I've
yet
either.
To finish the first novel, but hopefully this week if I get some sleep.
Okay, so what about episode 4? That was the Wakasugi family curse, it was like that one opening scene where like the mom has blood on her mouth. You think she's like a vampire or something?
Yeah, that was really weird.
I don't know that I liked it that much. I kind of was... It was different than the other episodes. I guess my biggest complaints was... I just didn't really buy it, I guess. Like, we have this guy, I can't remember his name, but he gives this kid a syringe of... it was like some kind of toxin or poison. And I'm thinking, I don't know how old that kid was, like maybe 6 or 7. Like, and you're injecting this little baby, and how do you even know this kid's going to use it right? Where is he going to inject it? Mm-hmm. How does this poison, like, what's the method that it's going to work or not work? And I just didn't really,
I don't think the child would have much awareness to know what he's doing.
No. And then the fact that the mother, she wants to protect her stepson, and then she just like sucks the poison out, and she doesn't even know what it is. And so you think you would just get medical help, and they never mention whether they did or didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just kind of weird that I know she wants to protect this boy, but then your kid also has who knows what in its system, and you need to get it help. And if police had been involved, they probably could have figured this out a lot sooner, you know?
Yeah.
And it's not like I think just basing off of his behavior, I would hope the parents would have noticed, is that he was pretty protective of his sister. He didn't want her to like actually die. That wasn't his intention.
Isn't this where the guy, the photographer, was introduced.
Yeah, I think so.
Was he?
Yes, it is, because I see it on my notes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was really excited that because I remembered him from another drama that I enjoyed, which I can't remember the name of, but I did remember him. I pegged him down as Mary the instant I saw him. Like, okay, this is Mary. But yeah, he was introduced in this episode. Oh,
Is that actually, because I thought it was Moriarty or, I thought it was when they mentioned it, but maybe because of the name was so similar.
Yeah, I actually said his name is Moria Toru, Moria Mary, close enough, also looks like Moriarty, what?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, that's why I was like kind of like wait, but yeah, that was my initial impression, but then obviously that's not how it turned out.
I just Yeah, I mean, I pegged Moriarty as the therapist from the get-go just because I didn't see, I couldn't find another point at which that could not be Moriarty. And then it just also made more sense to me to have a war zone photographer as an easy subject to manipulate for Moriarty. So that's why I was like pretty dead certain this is Moriarty and this is Mary. What I wasn't anticipating on, which we find out later, is that Mary had, been manipulated. And I should have seen it. I feel like I should have guessed that. But it was a twist that I hadn't seen before. I've never seen like a Mary that's gone dark. So,
Episode 5. So is the missing bride? Mm-hmm. What did you guys think of this one? This one was kind of like a whatever episode too, right?
Yeah. Although I was kind of like confused as over why everyone's like panicking over someone going missing, like so, like straight away, like especially like all this uproar, and it's like it didn't. It seemed like overdramatic to be worrying so much when I suppose it's something. It's just she could have just like gone somewhere, but they were acting like she was kidnapped or something, which kind of confused me.
Oh, I guess because you know they're about to get married, and you know she was supposed disappears. To.
Well, yeah, they said that they didn't see her leave through the lobby, and she was like, "Oh, yeah. Did she go out the window?" And of course, then we later find out she disguised herself and blah blah blah. Mm-hmm. But I noted that it I would call it a filler because it wasn't really relation to the overarching plot until the last scene, which I don't remember what was the last scene. It was Yuma.
Yuma committing
she had a
suicide.
Really strange expression on her face. I couldn't read it very well. It was like she was smiling, but it wasn't a happy smile. And I was like, oh, she's going to kill herself. And of course, I was like thinking, okay, Moriarty. But then I was wondering how he would have gotten to her. She. But
is that the one in prison?
Or? Yes. Yeah, that was the two sisters. And then Yuma was the one who was like under Irikawa's thumb. And I guess the other sister didn't really have much to do with it. Other than she was just listening to her sister. But yeah, I had fun with this episode, though. I mean, it was a kind of a fun, easy case, I guess. I don't want to say easy, but it was just kind of light. Nothing too dark other than, you know, this man murdered her best friend, which I did think was kind of strange, though, because... I mean,
well, he
not murdering. he stabbed her. But I was thinking,
just
it's weird that when we flash back, he's sitting, I assume it's the college campus, and he's watching these two friends, and she's showing her friend her sketchbook, and then he ends up killing her for that sketchbook. And then he... is going to marry the friend. I'm like, wouldn't he think she would catch on? Which she already did know, but it was just kind of, it was strange to, I guess, a strange way to kind of put that case together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is kind of weird. What did you think of, like, the Watson and Sherlock dynamic?
In this episode, or like
no, just in overall? General, just like as it evolved.
I liked it. I guess I kind of wanted to see more, but at the same time, I did like this kind of slow progression. At like at some point, you don't even know when it happens. Like first, it feels like Sherlock's forcefully dragging Watto along, and. Oh, we're not friends, which of course they keep saying until the very last episode.
Yeah.
And then at some point, I thought it was really funny because she does even ask Watto. Watto just jumps up and goes along with her. I'm like, at what point did this become normal? So,
Yeah, true. I think that it didn't give me much time to like get invested in the relationship at first. By the end it was a bit more like I felt a bit more like I cared a bit more, but I felt like the bond was like kind of, I don't know, not, I just I feel like I've seen better representations before. Yeah,
I would agree actually. Just thinking of the BBC series, Sherlock and Watson are like, you know, they are so close, they are best friends.
Yeah.
And they fight and they but they love each other at the same time, and there's just this really fun dynamic between them, and they have this deep friendship and they trust each other. And I just didn't really get that with this. I did like their characters, but I don't feel like we got enough focus.
I think perhaps that was because the series was quite short.
It was short.
It's only eight episodes. It was short.
Yeah, and then I was also thinking, I feel like I wish they would have spent, I mean, just kind of as we're going through the episodes, I'm realizing how there seems to be like a lot of what you could call filler content.
Yeah.
In terms of the cases. And I feel like if they had kind of cut that out more and put in its place, the stuff to show evolving friendships and relationships. And I mean, I kind of have a similar complaint at the end with this version of Moriarty. I was really disappointed, even though I was happy it was a woman, but similar complaints.
Yeah, I don't know much about the depictions of the characters in other adaptations, but it has, like, is it normal for Watson to be so clueless all the time?
I noted that too. I was like, God, she's really slow. Like, why is she so dumb? I mean, she's not supposed to be dumb. She's gone through med school.
She's a doctor. Yeah,
I thought that was, you know, a bit odd, because it seemed like she just didn't catch on to things.
I know.
She just, seemed apprehensive about things, and I was just like, is this really what Watson was like? Because I didn't remember. I don't think so. That way before?
I don't think so. I mean, like, stuff I've seen, he's, of course, because all the other depictions I've seen have been male versions, but
yeah, that's true.
He's rational, not rational. It's just he's just like kind of like an average person. He's not wildly intelligent like Sherlock, but I think he keeps Sherlock grounded in the emotional aspect and in manners, definitely. But he's not like completely clueless and can't catch on to things. And I do think the BBC series, we see this point at which their friendship comes at a level where they just kind of know each other so well, they're in sync. Yeah. And I don't think that that was seen in this adaption.
I feel like it was rushed because you know, it's eight episodes and it only really came out like probably like way later, maybe like episode six or seven, right? I feel that's when they kind of really started clicking. And like was it episode six?
It's like it started
we're like to get more. Yeah, they were like more in sync, because like that was where like this is the episode where the rich, was it politician, was
Prime
covering
Minister
up
or the politician,
and he was covering up for something that he did like a long time ago. And then the, what is it, the butler? Is it the butler? I don't know. The driver.
I don't know. There was father.
I don't know if he, I mean, he was positioned as the driver, but I don't know if that was his only role. But I was,
Or like, you know, one of his
henchmen, the underling. The underling.
And he like, not kidnapped, but he tricked them to go into the garage.
The garage.
I was like,
why are you guys going in?
What's that wrong with you?
Really out of character. Like,
I know.
Why would you just
listen
to that?
Yeah, and then like after that, then he was like trying to like cut their throats or whatever. Like
I know, you know, I was
like, oh yeah,
I was like, God, is everyone in this like, I mean, I wouldn't say he was their family, but I mean, you could call them like this little group, right? The family themselves and their workers. I'm like, is everyone a psychopath? I was like, I was not expecting that.
Yeah, I was like, what? What is this guy? He's like, it's almost perverted in a way.
I know.
Because he was like, oh, you're the pretty one. I'll save you for later. I'm like, what? I'm like, I think Sherlock is the prettier one, but.
I don't even see how that was relevant. It's like, okay. What are you going to do about that? I mean,
yeah. But then like, you know, they somehow escape, but then Watto, she had that knife, remember?
Yeah.
She took that knife from Sherlock. Yeah, and conveniently like cut herself loose and like, you know, saved Sherlock. Yeah. And that's like when they started kind of sinking, I think. Like,
yeah, I would agree. That was a fun moment. And then I kind of felt like it did. I didn't see it as much, or if at all, after that. Because I mean, then we've only got two episodes, and then that's kind of when everything goes to crap.
It was so short, Because after that was like, what you have was episode six. That's two episodes, right?
Started to like wrap up a bit with the way things were going.
Yeah, I was kind of disappointed too. We didn't really get to see much of, I felt like, who Watto is.
Yeah.
This version of her. And because we start off, she was the one who opens the show, you know, and it's not till I think episode four where she starts to experience PTSD with the explosion going off in the back. And I felt like that could have been done a lot sooner. I don't know why they waited so long, but
yeah, it really confused me. At one point I was like watching and then that just happened and I jumped out of the kid. I really didn't expect
it. You're like, why is there an explosion?
Yeah, I was like, what is going on now? But yeah, I agree that it doesn't like give you much time to care about like the background or to get to know the background of the character.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting, though, if you compare the BBC series, I might be wrong on this, but I think each season was actually three episodes long.
Yeah.
They were.
Oh, really?
I believe they were
an hour and a half each.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
So if you compare that, I mean, I think they did a really good job on building those characters and their relationships versus these episodes, I think, roughly ran like 45 to 50 minutes.
That's true.
I think they could have done a little better, quite a bit better, actually.
I don't think they needed as much filler as they did put.
Yeah.
I mean, they could have made it a bit tighter in terms of the story and the, you know, bonding, like, kind of.
Yeah.
But, so this was, episode 7 was when the virus started to,
the stolen virus.
Materialize, I was like, at first, I was like, oh, no, not a virus. I'm so sick of viruses.
But this was back in 2018, right?
I know.
So, which is so weird because then the following
It's like
year,
a prediction, right?
Yeah.
Of, like, of COVID, right?
But at the same time, I was like, stuff about viruses I'm trying not to watch at the moment because it just makes me anxious just thinking about it. But luckily it was like not like too many people dying. I didn't have to deal with that kind of thing because it was just a threat rather than the actual, you know, it wasn't like, what is that one? Bloody Monday? Is it called Bloody Monday?
There's one called Bloody Monday.
Haruma Miura.
The drama. I haven't watched it.
You haven't seen it though.
Yeah, that one's just like the virus, like, you know, and there's people dropping dead
front
and center and bleeding everywhere and blah 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 and all these horrible nasty like rashes and, so I was worried that it would be something like that, but luckily it wasn't.
So when I watched this episode, I mean, I liked it, generally speaking. But I had so many, like, this is why I don't watch medical dramas or medical shows, period. Yeah. I was very annoyed.
Are you a medical student?
Oh. Well, I don't. I'm definitely not a doctor. I'm not a nurse. Right. I'm not a virologist. I have basic baseline knowledge. I've had my education in school. I'm still trying to get into nursing. Of course, I'm looking at maybe other fields in science, biology, but I have a lot of doctors and nurses in my family. I've told you guys my mom has a lot of health issues, and I've grown up kind of just being aware of certain things. And of course, I just came out of my second round of MICRA, which I chose to retake last year. So a lot of this was fresh on my mind still. And I know, like, for one, this is when I got really annoyed, is when they talk about a vaccine. And I feel like this is important to mention, not because we're talking about Sherlock, but because of what's going on. And, a vaccine is not a cure. It's not an antidote, which is how they were treating it. It's to promote a primary immune response, because your primary takes up to like 14 days till your body is actively fighting against whatever pathogen has invaded. And so once you get this vaccine, and it's not that actual live virus that's attacking you, it's a variation or a part of it, and you have that initial response. And so when you are exposed and encounter the real thing in the wild, you have a secondary response that is so quick. It's like, I think 2 or 3 days your body will react, and sometimes you aren't even aware, or it's, you know, what could have killed you, you just spend a week feeling like shit. So that was what really annoyed me, because there's this a lot of people just don't understand, like, you know, with the whole COVID vaccines and like, I should be on that now. And well, that's not how it works. That's not how it's supposed to work.
I think a lot of dramas do it like that. Yeah. I mean, they're always so, like, oh, straight away you get the antidote and you're cured. Whatever.
Yeah. And so that was just hard for me to get into the whole thing of it. And then on top of it, they never mention how this virus spreads, which is like the big thing for me. And so to me, it didn't feel like a threat. Like, so I kept calling him Mary because I kept forgetting his name. So Moria.
Moria, yeah.
He injects himself, and at the end, his plan is to, I think it was to jump off whatever building he was on. And that was going to infect, like, you know, start this mass infection throughout Tokyo. And, but I was like, okay, but you never said how this spreads. So, I mean, like, why aren't you spreading it right now? I just didn't understand. Is it airborne? Is it through your blood?
Maybe through blood or?
But, if it's through your blood, then you need contact, right? So then I was like, how is it going to jump through, like, person to person so rapidly? I just thought that was stupid. I'm sorry. I feel like a critical Debbie Downer, but I'm just like, I didn't really like the – I was fussing with the writer on this one. I was like, can't you just And then I don't want to pick too much, but then there was they showed the virus to Sherlock in the beginning. I was like, that looks like a parasitic worm, not a virus. But I'm not going to dink it, because there are certain shapes. Viruses have certain shapes and components that make them different from other microorganisms. However, I just want to share this because I think it's kind of disgusting but fascinating. They recently found bacteria, and we think of bacteria as things we don't see, right?
Yeah.
So this bacteria you can see with your naked eye. Mm-hmm. So it's it looks like a little yucky parasitic worm if you were to see one. Really? It's gross, but I thought that was kind of cool, and I think that just shows that you shouldn't. I mean, I can look at this episode and pick on it for I'm not like getting the thing on vaccines right and blah blah, blah, but it's also like you gotta have an open mind to some things, like nothing's we can't be right about everything, you know, we don't understand everything, so I just thought that was kind of funny because it was my first thought was like, that doesn't look like a virus. Oh, but wait, they just found this thing.
I just thought a couple of things were just like a bit I don't know, like I was a bit skeptical about, like, I mean, when she went up to the roof with the guy, the patient, the one that framed her, I was like, why didn't you like take any recording or anything? Like, he just like basically said she was like basically blamed the whole thing on her and they just believed him, like randomly, which I found was kind of strange.
Yeah, but... are you talking about when they found the girlfriend of,
I think her name was Kuraka.
Are you talking about her?
Oh no, I was talking about the
Moria.
Wasn't she framed in this episode, or was it the next one?
Yeah, no, it is this episode. She was framed by Kurata, which is like the girlfriend. It's that played by that actress that she plays like crazy very well. I don't know if you guys know her. Well, I forget her name. But she was in also in Westworld. And she's in a lot of U.S. or Western movies as well.
So when they found the woman who like obviously just pointed and said, "Oh, it's her," I was like, "Really? Just believe them like without any evidence?"
I know.
They were like, "Okay, Sherlock's, you know, the culprit." It just didn't make any sense to me. Like, there was no, like, reasoning for it. So, I guess that kind of, like, threw me off a bit.
Yeah, I think they were... I think the behind the scenes, I keep calling her Moriarty because that's who I think of her as. Yeah. But Irikawa, I think it was her manipulation, right? Trying to place this big doubt on Sherlock's character, but to me it just didn't work. It's just like, if you know someone and here's like, I don't know how long Watto was supposed to have been with Sherlock, but at least Shibata and Raymond, I'm assuming they've known her for quite a while, and they like, when has she ever like, what does she really, for one thing, like, has she ever acted this way? And two, what does she get out of it? But other than like going to prison or living as a fugitive, which neither seems great for her, right? So
I didn't really buy, you know, her just like being like, yeah, it's definitely like Sherlock was the culprit. And what's Watto Sam? Just believing that she was part of it. I mean, I know she was brainwashed, but to me it just seemed like, as you've been with someone for a long time and you've been living with this person, like, really, did it seem, it seemed like way out of character for Sherlock to have done this.
Even if you think of it logically, like how I Sherlock likes to think it, that could, but I mean, just like, I mean, even thinking of like when she allegedly pushes the girlfriend off the hospital rooftop, then Raymond gets a phone call and he's like, "Sigh, now Sherlock did this. There are witnesses." And to me, I was like, "What, does he believe that?" Like, actually, there weren't really witnesses. What they saw was someone peeking over, right? No one saw her push this woman off. It was just kind of like, I'm like, why are you so quick to believe? Like, come on, you were always on her side before. And then Shibata's just like, oh, I knew this day was coming. And I don't know. It was just, it got on my nerves.
Because I think like... Raymond, I think he was just kind of like playing along, but I think it's meant to kind of trick the viewer into believing that, you know, the Raymond guy, he flipped. But I think all this time, he, if you remember like the last episode, Raymond was actually working with Sherlock. Yeah. Right? Like behind the scenes.
Yeah, yeah, and then I think it's at the end of this episode he is clearly established that he does believe Sherlock's innocent. It just doesn't make sense for her to go off and kill people. And then he gets taken off the case, I think.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah.
Which, you know, I don't want to jump into episode 8 before we're ready, but I don't know who he was. I guess he was Raymond's like boss or the head guy of the unit. He's the one who takes him off the case. And he was saying that he never really agreed with him in bringing a civilian, aka Sherlock, onto these cases. And then I thought it was a little funny because in the next episode here, he's working alongside Irikawa, who is a civilian. And so I kind of wanted him to like get his ass handed to him that way. But of course, then we don't know what happens after that. We would have, may have, if we had a season 2.
Yeah.
I just found it so, like, I don't know. I just found it so weird that his motive for why he was doing this, like releasing this virus, was because of the village that the avenging the people that died in the village. But I thought, but then how can you avenge, like how can you kill off a load of other people just to avenge like what happened then? Like it just didn't add up. Like it just seems weird.
Sherlock actually said that to him, right? She was like, why are you killing innocent people here? They have like nothing to do with this, you know. I forget what he said, but
he wanted to change
the world.
And I was like, from my perspective, I don't see that happening, but I just had the thought, well, yeah, he's also being manipulated by this person. He probably was already in a vulnerable place before seeking therapy. So, I mean, I don't know what went on in those therapy sessions. And there's this whole cult thing, right, going on. And that's...
But then, so she's this therapist. She's basically taking all of these people that are like vulnerable and kind of weak already, right? In a way, and that's how she changes them, I guess. Brainwash them.
Yeah, I guess by kind of influencing their kind of mindset. With episode 8.
Let's go to episode 8.
Before we do, so when Moria dies, of course, we learn in episode 8 that it was supposed to be from the virus, not the gunshot. We assume it's because Sherlock kills him, and they never showed where she shot him, but at the time I was like raging, I understand why she did it, and I knew she would kill one person to save millions. I knew that, but it's like you didn't have to kill him. Like you could have shot him in the knee or something, right? So,
you guys whole thing about how if he was dead, he wouldn't be able to infect anyone or something silly? But
I don't really know why.
Well,
then, of course, plot convenience, but then Watto's up there, too. I was like, why is she here? Oh, because she has to see Sherlock kill.
Yeah.
Because, otherwise she doesn't have a reason to be up there.
Yeah.
Wasn't she just dragged along?
But why, though? Because they're there to But, you know, I also had the thought, well, maybe they're doing it because she's so close to Sherlock. But they never said why. But I felt like it was just for plot convenience because she needs to witness Sherlock kill her boyfriend. So now she's been turned against Sherlock.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it was just convenient. How? I didn't really understand how quickly she changed in terms of, like, her... Like, she just completely went, like, nothing was, like, getting through to her anymore.
Yeah, you mean, like, after Moria dies, yeah, and she's like... I agree. I actually thought when episode 8 starts and she's shooting that can and she has her counselor, you know, whispering in her ear, and I was like, assuming it'd been like months or something. And then not too far after that, we switch over to the police and they say 20 hours ago. I was like, what? So not even a full day? Okay, that's a little it was unbelievable.
Just like, kind of sudden.
But... Yeah.
Yeah, I guess, I don't know. I guess part of me was thinking maybe, like, she was playing along with the psychiatrist.
I did,
the
too.
I thought did too. Maybe she was doing it on purpose to, like, or there was, like, some kind of underlying thing where she was working to help Sherlock. But yeah, apparently not.
I did too. Actually, I had that thought when she goes, she's introduced, you know, in the actual building, there's this guy showing her around. And I can't remember what he says, but he makes some comment about Sherlock being like, we have the greatest, or Japan has the greatest police force ever. And I was like, really? And then he's like, so why is it that Sherlock can always, like, solve all the cases? And I thought, okay, if she's any kind of, like, brainwashed, maybe this is going to, like, trigger her somehow and she's going to start to come to reality a little bit. And then I noticed Yurikawa comes in. She kind of had this, like, annoyed look on her face, like she didn't want him talking. So she shoos him away and then she takes over. And that's when Watto kind of has this emotional reaction. And I thought maybe that was when... things were kind of dawning on her and where she was, and I thought, okay, maybe she's going to pretend now that she's still brainwashed and she's going to help Sherlock later on. And then we get to that scene where there's like some of the cult members are with Yurikawa, and I would assume was one of her offices, and she's just found out Sherlock's broken into her therapy office, and Watto suggests that they call the police because that will get the murderer arrested. That was like, okay, I'm not sure anymore. I'm like, is she pretending or is she not? I didn't know until, like, basically later on, until we get to the near end of the episode. I have no progress with her, and I was like, okay, so she's gone. She's mentally not there.
I don't know if that's because she had PTSD in the first place, like all the loss and, you know, everything, but it just seemed like sudden to me that this therapist just managed to turn her, you know,
I do think
whole thought pattern.
Yeah, and I think too, like, I just remembered she shared her this, like, huge scar on her back.
She did.
And then of course we were introduced to her PTSD. And I kind of feel like they left those hanging. Like, they introduced these parts of her character, but then didn't dive further. And we didn't really get to see how fragile she was or not. And so then we see episode 8, and she's like, within 20 hours, she's totally, you know, within Yurikawa's hands now. And so
I think those two scenes that you mentioned, it's... like, the showing the scar was very, like, she showed it to the therapist, right?
Yeah.
So I felt like it was a way to, like, she, like, kind of trusted her. Because I think even Sherlock doesn't even know about the scar, right? So I think that was just, like...
Well, like, showing her vulnerable side?
Yeah. But then going back to episode 7, for me, the one scene that kind of stuck out was like after Sherlock had like shot Moria and like escaped. And then she was, remember she was watching the video, she took his phone, remember?
Yes.
And was like watching the recording. And then like,
oh yeah, yeah.
Oh, so
that gave
like,
me such creepy vibes.
Yeah, I know.
Because you can listen to it and assume it's for Watto, but from instantly I knew it's not to Watto. It's, and I got that feeling when he was telling Sherlock, I can't remember the words he used, but it was like he was talking about like someone important to him and this person understands him and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, this feels icky because I know he's talking about Irikawa, and I was just like, I didn't get a good feeling from it.
Yeah, yeah.
But now that you mentioned it, I did remember something in my notes. I don't know if you guys thought anything of it, but her reaction after she presumably kills Moria was really strong.
Yeah, that's and, yeah, that's what I wanted to.
Yeah, yeah.
And I, when I saw that, coupled with Kento's, he's really pissed off that his sister was forced to kill somebody, and he's like determined to that Kirishima is gonna pay for this. I think his name is Kirishima. I thought back to episode 1 when they allude to how did Sherlock get her name, because it's not a Japanese name obviously, so they must have some story behind it. I assumed there's some backstory there that we don't know, and I felt like maybe that was supposed to be connected. Like she had experienced maybe a past trauma, and coupled with what just happened, that was her reaction. But of course, they never get into that.
Yeah,
but I thought the reaction was interesting because she's such a logical person.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's this really strong emotional reaction from what just happened.
Yeah, it was such a like a huge contrast from like what we kind of know Sherlock as is like this calm and quirky person, and then like all of a sudden there's this you know, she's like crying like crazy. I've never seen Yuko, I've never seen her like, you know, like act this way, so it was very like shocking for me. And then the video itself, I'm like, who is this guy talking to? Like, who, this video, who's it for? I don't know. Initially, I thought it was for, like, Watto, but then he said something about, like, he can you take care?
Yeah.
Yeah, take care of her. I'm like, I'm like, huh? Who are you? Is it for Sherlock then? I'm like, then later on, I'm like, oh, okay, this is for the therapist. I'm like, but why? Why would he record something for her? So, right? I thought
it was weird that when Watto's, I think she's probably going to a bit of a panic mode, and she goes to her therapist and she's saying something really bad is going to happen and I want to protect people dear to me. And I don't know why, but Morio showed up behind her. I was like, this is a little bit of a strange situation. I was like, why is he here now? Like, did she call him? Did he follow her? And it's just, it felt really like a strange setup that they're both there. And then they're both kind of inquiring about Sherlock. And I was like, okay, so they've got to be in some kind of group with the current plot of what's going on.
But there was another time where they showed up. Was it once or twice? Like, they invited the landlady, like, invited them over, remember? I'm like, why?
She told Watto to invite her friends. She said, oh, no, she said to invite Moria and your other friends. And then, so I thought, because it's in my notes, I was like, plot convenience, because she's got to have more friends than her therapist. Like, I know she does.
Yeah, but why would you invite your therapist anyway?
Yeah.
That's but kind then, of odd. Like, I'd be a bit worried that my, like, they'd be, like, talking about all my hidden secrets.
Yeah.
Well, and then she leaves them, too. Watto does.
Yeah,
after
right?
Sherlock
leaves them. But then that reminds me of that one scene that they had where, like, Sherlock... remember Sherlock asked a question like,
there was
a boy. Yeah, a boy without no, a boy asked
Santa
for a
gives the boy. Yes, he gives
a soccer ball, right?
But he's not happy.
Mm-hmm. So why, right?
Oh, yeah. And then, yeah.
And then Moria's like,
you mean the question?
Yeah.
I'm like, it's not what the sock, the color he wanted. Because kids are picky.
I just thought maybe he doesn't like soccer. Yeah, that was not what I thought. And then we go around to everyone, and then I don't remember everyone's response, but Moria was like, he has no legs. And Sherlock gave him this look.
Wait, why would you give a soccer ball to someone who has no legs anyway?
Because Santa's so just weird. Not with it, I guess. But she gave him this look like, someone asked, like, what's that a test for? And she's like, if you're a psychopath. And she gives him this look, and I'm like, yeah, but he's a war zone photographer, so I would think, like, that's related to what he's gone through with his work. Yeah. And so I didn't think anything of it, but me too. Clearly she had some suspicions.
Yeah.
So the last episode then, have we really talked about it?
Not too much. I don't think so. We kind of went over the beginning.
Yeah. So it's titled The Dock.
And this is, that's when, Watto.
This is about the bomb, right? The,
The doctor, the nuclear warhead.
Yeah.
It's a micro nuclear warhead or whatever it was. He had the specs written on the wall in blood.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. In the prison, I don't know, like the medical ward, healthcare ward. What did you guys think of Irikawa using Sherlock to find that?
That's very smart, right? Like, because she couldn't figure it out, so it was like, okay, why not use Sherlock to solve it for her? And I think you kind of saw this with, like, was it episode 6 where she cracks the password?
But yeah,
so you can kind of tell then, like, okay, someone is, like, kind of using Sherlock's powers, like, against her.
And that's why my first thought was, like, I'm sure this has happened so many times with Sherlock, right, where someone's probably used her to solve something. And I was thinking, like, wouldn't that cross her mind that she's being used? And then, two, I know you guys haven't seen too many adaptions of Sherlock, but my thought was, I was really disappointed. Because Moriarty is supposed to be, like, equal with Sherlock. Yeah. And so...
The mastermind.
So,
rival.
I feel like a good adaption of that character would mean that she wouldn't need Sherlock. She would rather go in there just like Sherlock did and figure it out. And then she would destroy it. Probably to rub it into Sherlock's face, I bet. So that I didn't buy. I feel like that was, like, poor writing on their part, specifically for that character. And I kind of didn't really buy into the end goal, I guess. Like, she wanted to prove her, what was it
Some
called?
Thesis, right?
Her thesis on crime manipulation or leading crime, something like that. And I feel like there's only so many times you can keep proving it, right? Because she's proven it, supposedly. I mean, she has, like, this whole cult of people she's got under her thumb. And I'm just like, you know, this kind of, like, what else is going on here? Like, what? There's got to be something else. unless it, to her it was like upping the ante with each time she was messing around with someone. I don't know. I just kind of felt like it wasn't totally refined in the writing process of that.
I've only watched one kind of adaptation where I've seen Moriarty as a character outside of this. So I kind of thought, and it was an anime, so in that he was kind of like, he's equal, like you say, he was like super intelligent in other ways, and kind of like his evil rival kind of thing. So for that, for her to need to use Sherlock was kind of weird, as you say.
So I don't know too much about the Sherlock, you know, background, so I didn't even know who this person is that you guys are talking about. So for me, I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, you're smart because you're using Sherlock, and then, you know, you're using it for your own gain. So that's so for someone who doesn't know much about Sherlock, I'm like, oh yeah, totally, you go ahead, use Sherlock.
But she cannot, like, different take on it, but
yeah, that, yeah, that's possible too.
But yeah, did you all think that she, well, you obviously knew, like, that it was a fake death, or
I mean I strongly suspected that's what they were gonna do, because that's I mean, I haven't read it myself, but from what I've read in the books, the author, Conan, he was like sick of Sherlock. And so he created Moriarty not just to be like the equal enemy, but to be the one to kill Sherlock off.
Oh, okay.
He wanted to end it. Yes, he wanted to end it. But my understanding is that he had some money problems, and then there was such like public outcry. They loved Sherlock. They wanted Sherlock back.
Oh,
so
yeah, yeah.
He ended up bringing Sherlock back, and that's when I don't know what book it is that picks up, but it goes through like how he really didn't die, and this whole thing of how it was all planned out. So I mean, I thought this. I mean, that's, they can go that way, or they can do their own take. Maybe they didn't want to do a season two and they really are going to kill her off. So, I mean, there's that little line where you're just, you don't fully know how an adaption's going to work, because it's supposed to be an adaption, not like, you know, everything has to be the same.
Same, yeah.
I didn't really know for sure whether they were hinting that, like, at one point I was like, oh, she's gonna come back, right? She's gonna come back. Sherlock doesn't die. And then, like, we got really close to the end where they're like, where you've got...
She's walking.
Like, yeah, and she's given her coat and stuff. And I'm like, heels. Oh, did she really die? And then, yeah, that ending bit where she's like, someone's walking towards.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay, right. So that's a hint, but obviously... I didn't know if that meant they wanted to do a second season or if it was just, you know, to prove that Sherlock never died and it was all like a farce. But I was how could you plan falling off a building?
Yeah.
I was just curious about how that would work.
Well,
but they do show her in the stretcher, though.
Yeah.
I saw what she was like. Show her hand.
I didn't see the face. I was really focused on the hand and the coat. And so I was like, oh, that's Sherlock. And of course they have most of her covered up on the stretcher.
Yeah.
And I had been wondering prior to that, we see Shibata and he has this like kind of expression on his face, however you want to interpret that sound. And then following that, we have Raymond and he's tailing Irikawa into the building. And so we don't see Shibata in that scene. And I was thinking, okay, he's got to have some role. He's just kind of made up with his partner. He's back on Sherlock's side. What's he doing here? And I kind of forgot about it until the end when Raymond jokes at him because Shibata's like, oh, time to get back to work. And he's like, didn't you just get fired for, you know, you just used a lift when you weren't supposed to? I was like, oh, so that's how. So I think she fell and there was that lift there. I don't know what they did with Yurikawa, but I think that was how they would have brought, would have shown how they, how she really didn't die.
Okay.
I know in the BBC series, I don't remember all the details, but it was really, really elaborate. Kind of ridiculously insane. I know he falls off the building. I don't remember what they did with Moriarty, but he lands on something, then he slides or crashes through a window. And he had this lab girl who had a crush on him, and he kind of, I'd say he used her for things. And her and I think a group of people like do him all up so he looks like he's dead, like blood coming out. And they usher him out onto the road. And like it looked like he fell and he's got blood spilling everywhere. And then he pinches off like an artery or something on under his arm. So John Watson's the one that comes up and feels for a pulse and pronounces him dead. So it was this whole elaborate thing. It was kind of ridiculous. Really insane. So I don't know how they would have, if they would have made it less intricate coming back to a season two if it had happened.
That's true. But yeah, so that is basically, is there any other thoughts that you guys want to add?
I'm kind of just going through my notes. It's like a wall of text, so
Well, what was sad was like after Sherlock died, right? Like
Watto. Yeah, I cried. Did you guys tear up?
I did. I was like, oh my god, she's like so torn because, you know, everyone's sad, right? And then like Watto is there like holding that green jacket that she threw to her when they first met almost. And she was just like just so beat up and
I think I didn't, but then I don't cry easily or tear up easily when watching things. So I mean, for me, I was just I mean, it was sad. And I admit, but at the same time, if I'm not completely buying something, I probably wouldn't, you know, react as much.
I definitely got teary. I think I can like see, like in episode 7 I was obviously like not happy about certain things and like this is stupid, but then I also do connect on an emotional level with characters and what they're kind of experiencing. And so if like something sad happens or someone's crying, I'm like, I'm also crying. There's a high chance. So I also, I was looking at my notes here. I don't think any of us talked about Yurikawa's, that, well, that actress is Saito Yuki. I don't have any experience with her, I don't think, in other shows or movies. Mm-hmm. But I was kind of thinking about how she played her role the best she had with, you know, what I mean, actors can only do so much with what they're given per script. And I kind of, when she was the therapist, she was kind of irritating. You know, like that soft spoken, stereotypical voice that they'll use and to make you calm. And I
her
that.
Voice is very calm. Like,
it was grating to me, but then I also liked it because it as her acting, I liked her acting that out. And then if you contrast it later on when she meets Sherlock and she has this totally different persona and she's kind of like, that person's gone. That's not really her. So, I did some kind of like comparisons with, her and Andrew Scott, who played Moriarty in the BBC series, and just, these are, it's the same character, but different. And I just liked her with what she was able to do with that character. I thought it was, I kind of wish almost though there was more of her. I would have liked to have seen more of her on the screen. I guess, and more of her interacting with Sherlock too.
Yeah. We only really got that interaction probably in the last two episodes, maybe, right? If that, maybe even only in the last episode, I think.
There was like that brief. I think the first one might have been when it was some kind of, it wasn't a tea party. It was like a sweet potato the party or something.
Yeah, sweet potato party. Yeah. But there was not too much of like a, it was like once they knew like, okay, you're like my nemesis. It was like, it was the last episode, right? And then there was that kind of like teasing of each other. Was. Like she called her and then, you know.
Yeah.
She's like, if you want this, then you gotta, like, if you want Watto back, you gotta do this for me or something.
Is that an ice cream truck?
Oh, yeah. that happens every day. Wow. I didn't think you could hear that.
we heard.
Oh, I'm actually glad there's been no planes. Because normally they're, like, constant. Well, not constant, but like around this time they tend to pick up. So yeah.
It's both, right? Because she starts in episode 7 and extends to 8, where she's like cut off from.
Yeah.
Watto and her brother, even because he's being watched, and her connections with Shibata and Raymond. And I mean, I understood why it was there, and I liked this, her, you know, working through everything. But then at the same time, it's like, and not really the fault of the show or any actors, it's just I wanted more, I guess, like more of her these characters. Solo? And
Okay. Yeah, her being solo was a bit weird, right? It's like she was so, like, helpless, I feel. Like, she...
Yeah, it did feel that
I feel
way
like
a little
she,
bit.
She needed... I think she realized, oh, I need, you know, I'm not the best. Like, I need
other people. But she can't do everything all on her own. Yeah. She's gotta have some help.
Yeah. And then, like, she was, like, this homeless bum. And then, like... Yeah, it was weird when, like, she was working with some bum under the bridge, right?
Yeah, and his puppet.
Yeah. I'm like, what? What is this?
I know, who's this guy?
Yeah, who was this weirdo? But I've seen that actor around before.
I have, too, but I couldn't place him.
Yeah.
Your cat is awake. I can see your cat looking over. It's kind of cute.
I thought he left.
Oh,
kitty. He's cleaning himself.
Yeah, so any last thoughts? We talked over almost, we're close to 2 hours.
Yeah. I think I could, like, there's so many talking points, but it's like the notes are endless looking at them. It's like,
I know. I'm looking at mine too. I ended up with like 28 pages.
That is crazy.
A lot of it though too, it's like self-talk. It's like I'm looking through my notes and it's like talking out my thoughts. Like, and that, I mean, then it just like builds on itself and it's just like you scroll through the whole thing and it doesn't ever end.
It's incredible how much you pick up on.
Yeah, I'm sad that there's no, you know, I for sure they were setting it up for a season 2, like just based on that last scene of like you seeing like Sherlock walk towards Watto. I'm like, oh, there's gonna be a season 2. Oh yeah. but then like a year was it a year later, then like Yuko commits suicide. I'm like, oh shit. No more Sherlock.
Was it 2019? Oh, 2020.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it 2000? Yeah, so 2 years later then. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a shame.
So, yeah. What would you guys rate this at
on the scale? I rated it a 7.
I probably
should have rated, maybe it was more of a 7.58, but I think for me, that would, like, it took a while for me to really get into it, and I'm not someone who really enjoys episodic stuff anyway. Like, I tend to prefer stuff that's, like, ongoing stories and things like this.
But yeah, yeah.
I guess for me, like, I did enjoy it, and I liked adaptations of things, so, and I thought the acting was really good as well.
Yeah.
That, and the quality of the drama.
Yeah, totally.
Itself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gave it a 7.5. I think I would have given it an 8, but there was just, like, I felt like there was a lot of parts you could consider fillerish or just straight up filler.
Yeah, the filler.
It could have been condensed more, like, still 8 episodes long, but just being able to pack more of the vital information in.
Focus more on certain bits.
Yeah, but
that,
you know,
more important.
I did like the acting a lot. The quality of the whole show was pretty solid. I think it was just those little things with the writing mostly. Which isn't the actor's fault, it's not the director's fault, so what do you do? Oh well. It is what it is.
Yeah. So for me, like, this is one of my favorite dramas. So but it wasn't so much like the storyline. It was more for me like what you said, like the actors and how they portrayed, like, the characters. And, like, for me, I didn't know too much about Sherlock anyways, so for me this is like new, like a new interaction between, like, Watson and Sherlock. So for me, that's the bit that I enjoyed the most, like, their, you know, their relationship that they had. It was like they hate each other, but but, you know, secretly they, you know,
they love,
like,
each other.
they love each other. And and even though, like, Sherlock is like doesn't want to admit it, you know. So and I like how, like, Watto was always kind of correcting or, like, reprimanding Sherlock, like take off your shoes, no, and then, like, she runs off and she's like, you forgot your shoes, put your shoes on. Like, so, like, and, like, little things like that. And, like, she just, like, Sherlock has no manners, right?
Yeah.
And
she's always touching people.
Yeah, and then she's always touching people. Like, yeah, there was one scene where, like, she was touching the guy's hair.
I was just thinking of that.
I was like,
it was that Missing Bride episode. It was she bends down and she, like, takes this look of his hair,
and
she's like, just, like, got this smile on her face, and like, that's not strange at all.
But then there was, like, every episode there's, like, something funny that she would do, and you're like, what? There was, like, another episode where, like, I think she had a bowl of, like, I think it's breadcrumbs or something. And she was just pouring it out, like, dumping it on
the noodles.
Yeah, she was just dumping it on the noodles. Like, and I'm like, what?
It was funny to watch that guy, because it was his food she took.
Yeah.
And him and Watto just, like, watching her do it and cringing.
Yeah,
like, and she's just like,
oh, yeah.
I don't know why she did that.
But there was a lot of scenes like that where, like, but I feel like she was doing that to kind of, maybe it's autism, I don't know, but it's a way for her to break down, like, you know, kind of interrogate this person, but, like, using this method to kind of, like, distract them in a way. So they would, you know, talk more or something. I don't know. So that's what I saw it as, because it was came up pretty frequently.
Yeah,
like.
Yeah. It did.
And I also noticed, I think it was the first episode. I kind of caught on that she doesn't like loud noises, and that's kind of what made me think maybe there's something like autism or something else. To her character, but they just don't talk about it.
Yeah.
I picked up pretty quickly. It's like it upsets her. She was like sitting there kind of like in a rock motion. That's and then she does it later again when Mizuno's wife, they confront her at the end. She ends up killing herself. I think she ends up screaming and that upsets her. It's like any loud noise she got upset with or she was making some kind of like sound.
But it could be linked to like whatever trauma, remember, that you mentioned she had, right? But yeah, all these little things, I'm like, yeah, totally. Because I grew up with autistic siblings. So, you know, these behaviors, I'm like, oh, it's like so very similar to what I've experienced before. Yeah. It's but yeah, for me, I would give it an 8 or 9. Because she's like my favorite actress and like I just enjoyed just watching her act and portraying this kind of kooky character. So
well, and it's fun too when I mean like it'd be I know you've seen this before, but this was the first time for me watching it, and I keep thinking like it would be so fun just even like when I hopefully finish the Sherlock novels and go back and rewatch this just to compare and then to like pick up on details you didn't pick up before, because I feel like this is something with just so many things to it that you can try as hard as you can the first time, but you're never going to pick up on all the things. And so it's always fun to like kind of pick on something new and have a new perspective and just to notice certain details. And I think with Yuko specifically, there were just so many little things about her acting. And I feel like she put a lot of thought into this character and how she wanted to portray Sherlock. And, you know, this is the second thing I've ever seen her in. And I did download.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I had a whole list.
What is the first one?
It was the Strawberry Night. I think a 2013 special.
Detective, the special, okay.
Yeah, I wanted to do the drama and I was planning on it, and then who knows what happened because I never got to it. But I did at the start of June. We're in July now. So at the start of June, I had this whole list of Yuko movie specials because I knew I couldn't get through dramas, but I could try and get through other stuff of hers. Chris, I didn't have time for it, but it's still on like my to-do list. I have some things I want to see for comparison, but I thought it'd be fun.
Really?
I've never seen that kind of thing. Yeah. Well, actually, just one movie, but I mean,
yeah. So, in like Strawberry Night, she plays like a detective.
Yeah.
But it's like a very straight-laced, like serious kind of role. And she has done a lot of like romantic comedies, so you know, a lot of crying, laughing. But she's really known as like they've called her as like the Audrey Hepburn of like Japan or something, because she's so bubbly and like you know, and like everyone loves her and stuff like that. So she has the ability to really play different roles, I feel, because I've watched quite a bit of her stuff. I've watched some romantic comedies of hers. I watched all of Strawberry Night. What other things she's a really good great actress.
I felt like I picked up on that you know, just having only that short little amount exposure to her, and then going into this drama, the first episode I noted how much I loved her acting, because I feel like it was, I think I'm having cat allergy attack. I'm like, have my eyes are itching and my nose is starting to get stuffy.
You're allergic to your cat?
Yeah. But I love my cat, so it's okay.
Oh my god.
But I just felt like it was such just you can tell when you see a seasoned actor, yeah, and how they can, yeah, really play things so well. And I mm-hmm. really got that impression strongly from her. And so at some point I would love to go back and watch like some of, yeah, her earlier stuff and stuff from different genres. But I was really impressed, yeah, with her.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay, so we're almost at 2 hours.
I guess I should probably announce what I think we are going to watch next time.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Tell us.
I've been so curious.
Yeah. So what are we watching next?
Well, I did mention like a number of things that I was like juggling on what to focus on, and I decided because it's summer. Because I just wanted to ease my curiosity over why everyone like talks about this drama or why they like it so much, I thought I'd go for Buzzer Beat because it's just
Buzzer Beat.
Yeah,
okay.
It's like kind of a summary drama.
Yeah, and just it's about basketball, right? Watch.
Yeah,
I think so.
What's his name plays a basketball player, right?
Yeah, well, I think it's a rom com.
Yeah,
with an older female younger guy relationship.
Okay. So. I have not watched I haven't seen it.
I've wanted to see it. I tried watching it and then I was like, this is, anyway, sometimes I just get in moods.
Yeah.
Like I want to see it, but then I'm like, not right now.
Yeah, I do that a lot as well. So I thought this might push me to like, but also I didn't want like watch anything too heavy. Just because it's summer and like I just,
yeah,
need something easy to, and yeah, I thought it, okay, might just be like, okay, because Orange Days was my other choice. It's quite I've watched some of it before, so I thought, you know, I'd go for something that I don't know anything about just to,
okay.
Mm.
So Buzzer Beat then, we'll watch that, yeah, next.
And then Riot, Mango can choose next time.
Yeah, Mango will choose her drama next.
I'll have to think of some things then.
Yeah. You have
get
about
a good
a
list
month.
Going.
You have a good month.
I mean, we say that, but then like,
I know.
Yeah, and then it goes so quick.
But yeah, so let's wrap this up then. I just wanted to give a shout out to like our patrons and our coffee donors. You guys will be listening to this first. This 2 hour long episode of us.
I will be surprised if anyone, honestly.
Of us rambling about Miss Sherlock. So, yeah. Yeah, and that's it. We'll see you guys next month. In episode 3, where we'll watch Buzzer Beat. Okay.
Yay.
Bye, everyone. Thank you. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.